guest, and we thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. Just good to be alive this morning.
Amen.
Yes, it is. You had a tough week this week, this past week.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, it's over. Today is the first day of the week. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's thank God this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. Yes, he has. Yes, you've been so good. You've been so good. And I just want to thank you, Lord. Those of you that are saved this morning, you saved my soul. Yes, you've saved my soul. You've saved my soul. And I just want to thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. We will continue our lesson series this morning, No Time to Quit series. We are on lesson number 4. We're studying out of the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, out of the book of Joshua. I know those of you that have been here a few weeks, I know you've read it now. I know you've read it. You read the book, the letter of Joshua. You need to read it. If you have not read it, Michael Rochelle, I was reading a few months back, Michael Rochelle. I wanted to give credit to the guy I was studying. He was studying out of the book of Joshua, and it's what led me to begin this study. He's a minister also, and I was reading an article that he wrote, and it led me to begin this study, and I'm glad I did. The first lesson number 1, was entitled How to Get from Here to There. Some of you know who Joshua is. He is the pupil, the understudy of Moses. And Moses is off the scene. He's died, as all of us will die. Hopefully we are leaving some wisdom and knowledge with somebody other than ourselves.
Amen.
Somebody all of us ought to have something that we can leave that's valuable to somebody else to share it with somebody. That's God's way. It's always been his way. And Joshua was the pupil of Moses. So he stayed with him from a young age. And now he's leading the people of God and has a task at hand. And he's leading them across the Jordan, really to the promised land that God promised the children of Israel. And he's given us some promises. We're not trying to get to the promised physical land. We're trying to get to the land that fadeth not away. The land of eternity. And God gives us a roadmap. And he gives us instructions how to get from here. We do know we're not staying here, don't we? If we haven't realized it by now, even if you don't go to church, you know that you're not going to be here forever. People die every single day. And God gave them this map, and it's a model for us. According to scriptures, tells us that things are written aforetime, were written for our learning. And it is one of the best models you can see of how God deals with his people, how he gives them instruction, what he expects of them, and how he gives them guidance and he gives them wisdom. We talked about how to get from here to there in lesson number 1. Lesson 2, we talked about overcoming obstacles, because we're going to have some obstacles in this life. But Lord, we wish we could avoid them. And they are there. They're there. It seems like when you choose to do right, it seems like the obstacles all just pop up.
Amen.
You know, even more so now, because you are more focused on what you want to do. And we have forces of evil in this world.
Amen.
And I wouldn't be surprised if evil stepped in here this morning.
Amen.
Yeah, I just hope it's not you, and I hope it's not me this morning. Don't look to the left or to the right. Yeah, just worry about yourself this morning. Yeah, we got to learn how to overcome obstacles. And God gave a way for them to overcome obstacles. And one of the main ways we overcome obstacles is to trust in God and quit trusting in our own understanding. Some things we can't foresee. And notice, and I know that's simple. They say, but what do you mean to trust? First of all, believe that God can get you through any situation. First of all, recognize that, because see, that puts you in the graces and favor of God. God can close a door when you don't even know he closed the door. God does things that you cannot see, but you have to first put your undying trust in it. We talked about overcoming obstacles. Then we talked about failure. Yeah, see, just to seem like things start going good, just you made a decision, you've been baptized, yes, I'm on my way to heaven, the devil appears and he puts obstacles in our way. And you know what? If you trust in God, God going to show you how to defeat some obstacles. But don't you remember this, as long as you got life blood in you, you haven't made it to heaven yet. Just because you overcome one obstacle, that don't mean another one is not coming. And one of the points we made in failure last week is not an option. Is don't get too overconfident. You don't get too comfortable to say you've arrived, to say, oh yeah, I got it now. Don't do that, because that's dangerous. Always remember that we all can make mistakes. Lord have mercy. And you get overconfident, you be like David, who was confident, he had all this kingdom, and some appeared and just tripped him up, messed his whole rest of his life up. He had trouble the rest of his life that he didn't have to have. Anybody want to borrow some trouble? Lord have mercy. I don't need no more trouble than already trouble is waiting on me anyway. Yeah, we don't want to put anything in our way. We talked about failure, God gave the children of Israel this great victory. They defeated the city of Jericho, the walls. They followed God's plan to the T, and they got this great victory. Hallelujah. And they got, but still, the devil was right there with them. And that's what we left off last week. Boy, it was just doom and gloom. Because God, they lost 30 million. Never, before Jericho, they walked around the wall. They defeated, didn't lose anybody. They lost 30 men. The AI chased them out of there. They chased them out of their city. Get out of here. All of them ran. It spread through the whole camp. Everybody was afraid. Everybody was fearful, even after God gave them this great victory. And the question is not for about them. They're gone on. They're dead. But what do we do? What do we do after our failures? I've been tired of the lesson this morning, making up for lost time. Making up for lost time. We're in Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. And so what did the children, what now? What do we do now? That somebody need to hear this morning. Somebody needs to hear this, because you see, you need to get ready for this. We all would have some hiccups in our lives. We all would have some things that just will knock us off the horse. It will knock us a loop. And young people, you know, when you're young, you feel invincible. You know, all this energy, and you're excited, and you would love victories. Lord, you better learn how to deal with some defeat. And you know what failure does? It wastes a lot of time. See, you know, it wastes a lot of time. So instead of being overconfident, now the children of Israel have no confidence. You know, they are fearful. You know, God has killed one of their own, Achan, who sinned and caused trouble to come on the whole land. He did it publicly. He killed all of his family, took everything he had, and it was a brutal punishment. But Lord have mercy, God had to make a point. He had to make a point, because there were literally hundreds of thousands of them, and they were on a journey. And some things you can't let linger if you're on a journey. Some things you cannot overlook if you're on a journey and you're trying to get somewhere and you're looking out for the big picture of everybody. Some things you cannot let go. And that's how God dealt with it. He made an example out of Achan. And all of the people were affected. And so we get to chapter 8 in Joshua. And I imagine there were some of the people of God, they were depressed. Is anybody depressed this morning? Don't raise your hand this morning. Some of us, we get in seclusion. We isolate. Thank the Lord you chose to be amongst the saints this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you chose to get out of the house, to put some clothes on this morning, to change your rut this morning. Thank you. You did the right thing this morning. And one of the things that God wanted from the children of Israel after their big mistake, as he wants from us, as he wants from David. Listen to David. You remember King David who made that great mistake? Listen to what David said in Psalms 32:5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my trans. The word confess has the thought of acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. You know, we confess before we are baptized into Christ. The Bible says, we, whosoever therefore shall confess me before him, shall acknowledge me with the mouth, what the heart believes. It's saying, it's making sure there's no hiding my transgressions to the Lord. God already knows our transgressions. He already knows what we've done. David says, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That's one, to me, one of the most precious benefits of being a Christian. I don't understand why anybody, after hearing the gospel, see, the word gospel means good news. Amen. It means good communication. You know why it's so good? No, it's like, this is, now see, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the gospel of Jesus Christ. They didn't have the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good news because it says that Jesus died for our sins. And we have this forgiveness, and this forgiveness does not stop as long as we stay in Christ Jesus. And I don't even think some of us as Christians understand that. What do you mean, Brother Gary? That means that as long as you stay in Christ, you keep your faith in Christ Jesus, Jesus' blood continues to wash us or wash away all of our sins. And you know how you get forgiveness of sin? To acknowledge that you've sinned.
Amen.
Notice, listen. To acknowledge that I have sinned. Now you want to be stubborn and want to be egotistical. You want to be private. See. Yeah. And David said, I didn't hide my transgression. Yeah. And so you know, I know sin is bad.
Amen.
It does. It really is. And it can beat us down.
Amen.
But you gotta know how to get rid of this guilt. Because that's the devil.
Amen.
The devil wants you to stay in your house. The devil wants you to hide from everybody. The devil wants you to conceal. The devil wants you to die in your sins. And you have Jesus Christ who's died, and his Bible says, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Notice, under the old law, their sin, they offered sacrifice. Their sins were rolled forward, if you will, and really not ever forgotten about. They were rolled forward, so they had the memory. And under the new law, we actually, if you, and I know some of us as Christians, we don't make it sound too easy. People will abuse it. Well, you still don't understand it if you abuse it. Because that's why some of us sit on the pew. That's why some of us are not what God would have us to be, because we still holding on to the guilt of sin.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Help us, Lord Jesus. And so, see, how you make up for this lost time? Because, see, you can't get time back.
Amen.
See, some of us have what I call life scars. And some of us got some deep scars. Let me say this. If you've grown in here, all of us have scars. First of all, recognize you're not the only one with a scar. Some of us think, well, yeah, Brigitte, he don't know what I've done. Well, you don't know what I've done.
Amen.
You don't know what any, just because somebody got a suit on, just because somebody's, the edge up is straight. that don't mean nothing.
Amen.
Hey, listen. Everybody got scars. You can't get, I don't care what the children of Israel do from this. They can't get, see, they were moving just fine. Cross the Jordan River, you know, going to claim land, city after city, on a good pace. All of a sudden, boom. Now they're wasting all the men killed. Men, they running back to their town, folks crying, depressed, you got to kill somebody else. All this time, some of us have wasted some weeks, some days, some of us have wasted some years. And because of things that we've done, yes, we have. But you can't get that time back. Yeah. David's son had a son that died because of his sin. Can't get him back. Brooke Harry, yeah, people have, if you're still here, you need to say thank you, Lord. You're here for a reason. Yeah. Yeah, you're not the only person that's lost a loved one. You're not the only person that's gone to jail. Uriah the Hittite, a man was killed, and he will not be back. God have mercy. So what do we do? Where do we go? Well, you go back to God, that's where you go.
Amen.
Yeah, you get connected as fast as you can back to God.
Amen.
The way you start is to acknowledge what you have done. Knowledge to do to you. You, Brother Gary, please. You acknowledge it to God.
Amen.
Yeah, you not. Some of us, like, we're still guilty because we hiding things. One of the best ways to relieve yourself is to acknowledge to God.
Amen.
What you have done. Whatever it is, whatever failure you have had, acknowledge it to God first.
Amen.
Of all. Joshua 8 verse 1. And making up for lost time.
Amen.
Get back to God's plan. Get back, it's time to get, they have a phrase, get back in the saddle. Yeah, get back in the saddle. I might have told y'all this, when I was at camp one year, summer camp with the kids, we had a camp that they rode horses, and all the kids were riding these little tame horses, and they just walked on a little trail, and I might have rode a horse one or two times, but I wasn't big on riding horses. But, you know, we were going with the kids. I said, well, I guess I got to get on the horse, too. And I got on the horse, and I said, ma'am, you get me the tamest horse out here. I don't want no bucking horse. And she said, well, that right there, that's the horse right there, little pale white-looking horse. And he looked sorry, looked like he's, I said, yeah, that's the horse I want. I want to get on that horse. I got on the horse, and I was in the back with the guy. The guy was in the back, and we just going on a little trail, and then it cut through the woods, and we riding on the horse, I'm riding slow, and all of a sudden the kids got a little ahead of my horse. It was going so slow. And the lady said, just kick the horse just a little bit on the side. Just kick it, tap it with your leg. So I tapped the horse with my leg, and the horse sped up. and I say, he need to slow down. And the lady said, "Well, she said, pull back on him just a little." Some of y'all know this. I didn't know that. She said, pull back on him a little bit. So I pulled back on the horse, and the horse kicked his head up, and he started running fast. I said, whoa, horse. And tell you what the horse did. We ran through the trail on the wood, and the horse sped up some more. And made a sharp left or right turn, and it was nothing but brush. Horse took off running and just dove in the woods. And I went flopped off the horse. I'm talking about on the ground. I'm talking about, I didn't just fall, I fell off the horse, kaboom. And by that time, the kids was close enough, they heard the ruckus, and they were hollering and screaming, "Brother Gary, Brother Gary." And I'm on the ground looking up at the sky. I was hurt and embarrassed. And the lady jumped up. Gary, you all right? You all right? You all right? I said, I guess. I said, I thought you said the horse was tame. And she said, that's never happened. Well, then you know what she had the nerve enough to say to me? What did you do? And you know what else she had the nerve enough to say to me? Well, get back on the horse. I said, no, I won't. So this lesson don't apply to me getting back in the saddle, because I'm telling you, I did not get back in that saddle, and I walked all the way back to camp. And that, from that day to this, that's probably been, from that day to this one, I have not been back in the saddle. But that's not the kind of saddle that we're talking about this morning. See, this is this serious business, church. Listen to Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear." Listen to what God. Now this is right after. That's why I say you got to read. This is right after Achan had been killed. Right after all his family. Right after the failure. And this is what God says to them. "Do not fear or be dismayed." That's what God. And sometimes it's hard to hear that, because you still, some of us are still in mourning. Or we still want it. And I'm talking about myself. Sometimes we want to be in seclusion. We don't want to face reality. And he says, don't fear. He wants a change of your mindset. Don't be dismayed. Take all the people. Notice all of these action words and verbs. Take all the people with of war with you and arise. Everybody say arise. Say that mean, he says arise. Everybody say and go. He says arise. Go up to Ai. The same place. The very same place you left. The same place they ran you out of there. This is when we need some help. This is when we need some help. These lessons, they encourage us. And really, honestly, these lessons are for people who've already made the choice that they want to serve God. And you know, this is reality. This is life. This is what happens to us in life. You make a choice. You want to live for God. Don't think everything going to lay down for you. We're going to have some victories. Amen. Reality defeats right around the corner. Yeah. And he gives all this instruction, like, you know, he says, and then he says, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And now these words should, if you read, they should be, have I heard this before? Isn't this what God said to Joshua in the beginning? Isn't it what he said before they took Jericho? He said it before they were to take Ai. These words keep, and God keeps saying the same thing. He said, "I have given this." And he says it to us. I have given this to you. Amen. As if it's already happened. That's the way he wants us to ingrain it in our. Heaven is ours. Amen. It's in our hands. We can claim it. We can know that we are saved eternally. Amen. And that's the kind of faith God wants us to have. He does not want us to live these defeated forever lives. He wants us to get up. And somebody here this morning, it's time to get up. It's time to stop being fearful, to stop sulking about everything in our lives. Every area, our relationships, our spirituality, on our job. Stop walking around like you're defeated all the time. He said, get up. Yeah. And God knew what he knew how he punished them. He knew it. You remember Jesus in the New Testament after this woman was caught in adultery, and Jesus said, "Who is without sin, cast the first stone." And then they said, one by one, they started leaving, from the oldest to the youngest. I thought that was interesting. From the oldest to the youngest. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 10. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, to the woman, "Where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either." And then he used this word. He says, "Go from now on and sin no more." That's what Jesus said to her. And you know, we wouldn't have said that to that woman. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. They caught you with the man. And we probably would say to that woman, "You don't need to come around nobody. You need to go hide. You shame of yourself." But Jesus said to her, "Get up. Go." Notice, live. Not in the same way. Don't keep doing the same things. Learn how gracious and good God is. And he says, don't do it again. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
You remember Peter? You remember Peter in the New Testament? After Peter, he denied Jesus three times. He'd been with Jesus 3+ years. And Lord, I'm with you to the end. And everybody leave you, I'll never leave you. I'll fight to the end. He left. Jesus says to him in John 21:17. He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved. He still was in depression. He still was sad. He still was hiding because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, this Peter now, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Well, get up." 10 my sheep. King James translation says, "Feed my sheep."
Amen.
New American says, 10 my sheep. Peter, you've been crying. You down. You. Okay. I know you're sorry. It's time to get up.
Amen.
Yeah. It's time to get up. Oh. Well. Yeah. You helping me, Lord. You know what? One reason why people don't get up, we embarrassed. You know, and he's telling Peter, get out of hiding. Can I just tell you, without telling you, probably all of us, if you've grown in here, you've done something that you are very ashamed about. Yeah, very ashamed about. And I think of. I think of two things that I've done that I'm so ashamed about. Now, I've done more than two. But when I was doing this lesson, I said, should I mention this? Thank you, brother. Thank you. But you know what else? You know what I did? I wrote in my notes, example, Gary. That's in my notes here, right? Example, Gary. Let me just say this. See, when you recognize how good God has been to you, when you recognize your failures, and you recognize God's grace. One of the things I think I probably have alluded to, my very good friend, my best friend at the time, I wasn't the right example around him. I was a Christian at the time. And he knew that. But I should have been a better example. He died in his sins. Can't get him back. I wish I could have another opportunity. That affected me. And it still affects me to this day when I think about it. You know, so sometimes we know God has forgiven us. But sometimes we get this reminder every now and then how good God is. And I think it's, but see, failure, sometimes it can be our motivation. And so when I have opportunity, you know, to share the gospel with somebody, to be an example, I'm trying better, much better than I was at the time. At that time, that was one of the things. And then the other thing is I did something as a Christian, even after I became a Christian, that I'm so ashamed about. I'm not telling you what that is. I'm so ashamed. I asked the Lord for forgiveness. And I 100% know God has forgiven me.
Amen.
Thank you. If I told some of you right now, you would hold it over me right now. You would. How you know that, Brother Gary? Because you just, you know. Ooh, Lord have mercy. And see, when you recognize, because I sulked for a while. I went into hiding, and I tried to stay close enough to God that God could speak to me through His word, and that's one of the reasons why. Man, look. I understand why. He's 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. Notice, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And some of us, we've been on the sidelines and we don't want to get to it. And I know, listen, I understand this now. There's a price you pay. There's a price that I've had to pay, notice, and am still paying. Amen. For what I have done. For what I did. I'm still paying the price. The consequence does not necessarily go away altogether.
Amen.
But Lord, it could be so much. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're so good. Thank you that you spared me. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Now, don't be going looking up my records and looking up. I'm going to find out what Brother Gary did. You do that to me, I'm going to do it to you. Hello, somebody. Now, listen to this. Listen to this before as I sprint to for 10 more minutes. See, faith, not fear, is what God wants.
Amen.
Notice, go back to God's plan. God's plan is the best plan.
Amen.
Listen, God is brilliant. I was trying to come up with a better word than that. But I want you to, we're gonna read this, and this is for you here, and everybody, young people and all, I want you to understand, notice, read this real story in the Bible of what God did for these for the children of Israel after they failed. Joshua 8:3, stay with me. So Joshua rose with all the people of war to go up to Ai. Notice, a few people went down to Ai first. Remember the men said, don't send everybody, Joshua, just send a few folks. And I love it that God involves the whole congregation. It's good when even the leaders of the congregation make sure the whole church knows the overall plans that we, by seeking God's counsel, they need to know what's going on. Because they are as much a part of this, we are as much a part of this, than the leadership is. And he got involved in hope, and Joshua chose 30,000 men, valiant warriors, and sent them out at night. This is God's plan. He commanded them, saying, "See, you are going to ambush the city from behind it." This is Ai. "Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and the people who are with me will approach the city. And when they come out to meet us at the first, we will flee before them. They will come out after us until we have drawn them away from the city. For they will say they are fleeing before us as at the first. So we will flee before them, and you shall rise from the ambush and take possession of the city, for the land, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand." Let me show. Bring the map up real quick. Show you this real quick. Bring the map up. This is Jericho, where they had come out from. They've conquered Jericho. The walls of Jericho are down. Thank you, sir. They are going to Ai. Ai is up here. Ai is the next place God tells them to go, that he is going to defeat and give this into their hands. They went once, didn't do it God's way. Ai chased them back out of there. Now, this is the plan. Joshua, send 30,000 men on the south side of Ai and camp out on the west side of Ai. Stay there, because get on the back of them. Don't get too close, but not too far. Stay on the back of them. And Joshua and the rest of the people are going to approach Ai from the front. They're going to approach him from the front. And when Ai sees us, they're going to come and chase us, and we're going to run like we're scared. We're going to run back like we're scared, just like you did the first time when you didn't have God's plan. You did it the first time. And when they run out, now let's read the rest of this. Go back to your pastor. He said, you shall do according to the word of the Lord. Verse 8, "See, I've commanded you." He said, "Do it my way. Use my plan." So Joshua sent them away. And they went to the place of the ambush and remained between Bethel and Ai. Bethel and Ai. You saw Bethel at the top of Ai, on the west side of Ai. But Joshua spent the night among the people. Now Joshua rose early in the morning and mustered the people, and he went up with the elders of Israel before the people of Ai. Then all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near and arrived in front of the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between him and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. So they stationed the people, all the army that was on the north side of the city, and its rear guard on the west side of the city. And Joshua spent that night in the midst of the valley. Verse 14, "And it came about when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hurried and rose up early and went out to meet Israel in battle." Note, God's plan is being carried out exactly like God said. The men of Ai see Joshua and the people. They arise. And he said, he and all his people at the appointed place before the desert plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. Joshua and all Israel pretended to be beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people who were in the city were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and were drawn away. Everybody in Ai, all the men, they'd done it once. Why not again? They left the city and ran after Joshua, just as God had planned. So not a man was left in Ai or Bethel, not who had not gone out of out after Israel. And they left the city unguarded and pursued Israel. Verse 18. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the javelin that's in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. So Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand toward the city. The men in ambush rose quickly from their place. And when he had stretched it good, it sounds like something they need to make a movie out of this one. He said, the men in ambush rose quickly from their place. And when he had stretched out his hand, they ran and entered the city and captured it. And they quickly set the city. I watched the movie Troy the other night. I was doing something and saw the movie Troy. And it kind of reminded me of this. Verse 20. When the men of Ai turned back and looked. See, you got to look through the words. When the men of Ai, now Joshua's ambushed, they're in the city. They are burning the city up. When the men of Ai turned and back and looked, behold, the smoke of the city ascended to the sky. And they had no place to flee this way or that. For the people who had been fleeing to the wilderness turned against the pursuers. Notice this. Then now they turn back and look in the city like, oh, we can't even run back to our own place. Now Joshua and all of his men, instead of running from them, they turn and run toward them. They are trapped. They are ambushed just like God said. Amen. Notice, they are dead men walking. Right now, listen to what the Bible says. He says, they turn back and slew. When Joshua and all Israel saw the men in ambush, had captured the city, and the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and slew the men of Ai. The others came out from the city to encounter them, so that they were trapped in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side. They slew them until no one was left of those who survived or escaped. But they took alive the king of Ai and brought him to Joshua. And when Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the field in the wilderness where they pursued them, and all of them were fallen by the edge of the sword until they were destroyed, then all Israel to return to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. All who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. But Joshua did not withdraw his hand with which he stretched out the javelin until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Israel took only the cattle and the spoil of that city as plunder for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he commanded. You remember last time in Jericho, they took the gold and the silver. Achan took the gold. They left that stuff alone that time. They did exactly what God told them. Listen, let me say this. As much as we can in our lives, do exactly. This is when you need to take your own wisdom out of some things that you decide I just feel like. You just need to do what God said do. Amen. You need to do what God. Everybody, like my mother used to say, listen, you, everybody else jump off a bridge, you gonna jump off the bridge too? It's not whatever, it's what God has told us. Amen. God has always been a detail. Amen. He's always Old Testament, New Testament. They did exactly. They carried out the plan just like God wanted. And everything fell into place. Amen. And even before they pulled the sword, the men of Ai knew they were defeated. They knew they didn't have a chance. They couldn't go back to the city. Couldn't go forward. And they were scared. Notice, they were like we are sometimes. We are fearful of situations. We're fearful because we don't see exactly what's going on. And you're fearing something that's more scared of you. You're fearing people. And you're fearing folks on your jobs. And you're fearing things. And they are afraid of you already if you just claim what God has given you. Amen. Listen to what the Bible says. And I want to finish this. It says, so Joshua burned Ai and made a heap forever. Now, and some of you that's, this is why you need to read all of this, because you look at this, well, that's so awful. But you got to understand these people that they were defeating. You got to understand how disobedient they had been, how paganistic, how evil, how this situation had gone on so long. And some situations, God back then, he had to clean it up. And that's exactly what he did. There are some people you can't fix.
Amen.
There are some associations you don't need to associate. Why? Because it is inherently evil. And you, Christians, children of God, don't need to. I'm not saying, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
But when you lay down and associate and mingle with evil, 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 it's going to affect you.
Amen.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. And no need in making excuses. This was God's business. God knew the hearts of every person in that city. And this is what happened. And then it says, he hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening. And at sunset, Joshua gave command and took the body down from the tree and threw it in the entrance of the city gate and raised it over a great heap of stones that stands to this day. And I read all of those details because you got to know, see, God's plan is being carried out. This is still the beginning stages of the children of Israel claiming all the land. And every move that was made was calculated. Because notice, the men of Ai heard about what happened in Jericho. They heard about that. And because the first time they defeat Joshua's men who came there the first time, it gave them more confidence. Oh, they did that to Jericho, but they're not doing that to us. And because they defeated them, I'm sure they were overconfident. And now there are other cities that Joshua, the children of Israel, have to claim. And don't you think the word came out to those other cities because they're not going to have any more defeats like this, because the children of Israel have learned their lessons. They have learned from their failure. It hurts so bad. It hurts to the point where Lord have mercy, it hurt. Anybody relate to that? Anybody? Are we going to go down that road again? I'm going to tell you something. I learned from mine. And I say I learned from it. I might make some mistakes, but I'm not making that mistake.
Amen.
I learned from that one. And I'm not making that mistake anymore. But yeah, you don't know what I know. You're right, I don't know. But I'm saying it in my mind.
Amen.
That one I'm not making anymore.
Amen.
And there are some things we need to write off. We need to. Don't be hard-headed.
Amen.
And yeah. How do you make up for lost time? Get back in the saddle. Get back on God's plan.
Amen.
Get back in God's word.
Right.
Ask God's counsel for anything you undertake to do. If you don't fully understand God's plan, consult his word. Make sure before you take a step, you've done your diligence to get God involved in the situation. Amen, somebody. Sometimes it's seeking wise counsel. Listen. It's one thing to be married and divorced, and we make mistakes.
Amen.
But don't make the same mistakes
Amen.
You made
Amen.
In the first marriage.
Amen.
Y'all don't have to amen. You don't have to say, oh yeah, you need to leave that alone. No, I need to stay on that for a minute.
Amen.
Yeah, you don't need, you accept whatever responsibility. Well, the person was all wrong. Well, we both got some wrong, don't we?
Amen.
Most of the time, we both got some wrong. One of the things I know, we made the choice, right? So we have to accept some responsibility for what we do.
Amen.
But some of us, Lord have mercy, it's time to get up.
Amen.
It's time to rise. I'm not saying you have to run for president of the United States, but it's time to get up.
Amen.
It's time to do. It's time to move on. Lord said the same. I need to stop. Lord says the same. I want to. If next Sunday, Lord says the same. On our journey, eyes wide open. Just to the saints, we eyes wide open. We being ignorant, being naive. You know, eyes wide open as we're on this journey. Don't look to Brother Gary, the elders, your big brother, your sister to make all your decisions for you. Amen, somebody. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be.
Well,
to be a Christian. It's the absolute
right.
Best life for any person on this earth. And when I say a Christian, I mean a New Testament Christian. God chose the children of Israel who, out of all of the nations, to carry out his plan. But his ultimate plan was to get us to Jesus Christ, where there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female, neither bond nor free. But we're all baptized into the body of Christ, into his family. It's the greatest. Our earthly families may be dysfunctional, but Jesus Christ's family is the family where there is salvation.
Amen.
And if you're here today and you're not in the family of God, you're not under the protection of God. You're not under the guidance of God. He says you come by faith. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is our roadmap. That's why we were studying out of the book of Joshua. It's Old Testament, but it's our roadmap to understand how God works, to understand God's character, to understand how God rewards us, to understand how God punishes us, understand how God keeps his promises, to understand that faith in God is more important than anything. Faith, my brother, my mother, she's taking care of Lord. Please, come on now. Mother loves you, but mother can't do what God can do for you.
Amen,
amen, somebody.
Yeah.
And you come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you believe with all of your heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins, humble yourself to understand that I'm a sinner, and to confess Christ with your mouth what your heart believes, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, God adds you to his family, and he wants everybody to be a part of his family. Does somebody want to be baptized today into Jesus Christ, where the blood of Jesus Christ keeps cleansing us of our sins and live faithful unto death? Let me say this before I. There's no time to quit.
Amen.
Yeah. Life can be so discouraging.
Well,
it really can, you know. Our loved ones die. You know, people have cancer in hospitals. We have relationship issues, and if you allow the obstacles and the failures in life to take all of the life out of you. And that's what it's, you know, I've been visiting and I've been talking. I say, Lord have mercy, this world, it's just so, my goodness, it's just so much stuff happening. And if you allow it, it will just suck all the life out of you.
Amen.
But you know what? We know what it should do for us as Christians. It should give us this sense of urgency. I just said, you know, I it's time for me to talk to my girls again. You know, and I know they quote unquote grown, but I thought about this. I said, you know what? I need to prepare my girls for tragedies in life. Because tragedies, you know, what do you mean? You know, we gonna die?
Amen.
You know, all of us have experienced it, and I've seen tragedies just ruin some people. But we in this world. We're sin is in this world. It's a broken world. It's a crooked world. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No need to question God. God knows everything what everybody's done. Matter of fact, if God treated us like we really should be treated, right now, today, we'd be gone right now, wouldn't we? So really, it's bad in the world, but really we can say God is good. And we need to thank him while we're here. Don't sulk in our, don't whine, don't complain, and we need to trust God because we're going to meet him.
Amen.
So you got to get ready for things that's going to happen. They're going to happen. Don't jump off a bridge. Don't deny God. Keep your faith in God. Somebody come to Jesus as we stand and sing.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear him. When the Savior calls,
I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere. Yes, I'll be somewhere. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Yes, I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
If my heart is right
when he calls me,
if my heart is right,
I will hear him.
If my heart is right
when he calls me,
I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Yes, I'll be somewhere. Oh, I'll be somewhere.